Grace to you in peace from the one who is the bread of life, our Savior Jesus Christ. May his mercy abound to you always. Amen. As was mentioned earlier in our worship, we'll be following the epistle lesson as Paul wrote it to the Corinthian congregation, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I share with you just a couple of those verses as we'll be looking at them throughout the sermon. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. My dear fellow redeemed, you'd have to think that over a certain period of time, people would learn. But they don't always, do they? It's so frustrating at times, isn't it? When they just won't learn their lesson, they keep doing it over and over and over again, and you wonder, well, when are they going to catch on that maybe they should do it a different way? I don't know, somebody probably quoted it a long time ago. I don't know if anybody ever claimed writing it down. But they say that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is the mark of insanity. Yes, they say try, and try again. But you better, when you try again, do something a little different. Because if it didn't work one way, you're going to have to find another way to do it. Even Thomas Edison inventing the light bulb, when he had to find one filament or try one filament after another, would only just think, well, he just found out something that didn't work until he found the one filament that did. Such it is with our life too, isn't it? We sometimes get so frustrated because these certain things keep happening, the same problems we have. It seems it just gets repeated over and over and over again. But let's take a look. Are we trying to fix things by using the same things that haven't worked before? Or in our life, do we turn to God? Do we turn to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I've got a situation here. I've got a problem here. I've got to deal with something here. Help me find the answers. And that's really what the Apostle Paul was sharing with the Corinthians. As he talked to them about all the difficulties they were facing, all the temptations that surrounded them, he wanted them to be sure, don't go the old way. Don't keep doing the old things. Don't keep repeating the same mistakes. But look to Jesus as the bread of life. And so we'll follow the theme this day. Christ is our solid rock. A rock, you know, that doesn't change. A rock that is solid and you can build on. Follow that rock. Build on that rock. Even through trials, he will prevail. And even through temptations, he will help us overcome. These are the thoughts. To build on the solid rock of Christ. Now, you know, after the last couple of weeks, there have been any number of things that have been in the news, any number of things that have been, if you're following the Olympics, we do know that the big headline news that one of the premier athletes chose not to perform in her sport, even though she was at the top of it, had worked for years to reach that point. She couldn't focus. She was all alone in her own mind. Matter of fact, some people say, well, she just choked. That's the thing in sports. Other people were more sympathetic toward her. I can't really come up with an opinion, to be honest with you. I can't come up with an opinion because I can't really relate to any of that. I can't relate to having the eyes of the world on you, having an expectation that if you come anywhere short of gold, you've lost. You didn't perform as you should have. I don't know what kind of pressure that would be. It is tremendous. It's immense. And here, well, what did she do? She'd reached that point where she had to back off on it. You know, when it comes to our trials, a lot of times we do feel alone, don't we? We feel like nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows the problems I've got. Nobody knows all the issues I have. If they only knew, they'd be more sympathetic. They wouldn't talk about choking. They'd be more concerned about my well-being. You see, that's the way it is in life. That's the way Satan loves to have it. He loves to separate us off, to make us feel all alone, to make us feel that even God has abandoned us. Just like I can't tell you what must be going through an athlete's mind at that particular premier level, the Lord wanted the people to know that they were never alone. Paul was inspired to write to the Corinthians and actually share a part of what we might call Jewish history, Israelite history. He referred them back to the Exodus, a time when God rescued the people of Israel out of the slavery of Egypt to take them eventually to the promised land. But before they would reach that, they would cross the desert. They would cross the wilderness. And in that crossing, well, things weren't the same. Things weren't the same for them. Yes, they were free, but freedom comes with work. Freedom comes with choices. Freedom comes with problems to deal with. And oh, they grumbled and complained. They weren't any different than the rest of us, right? When things don't quite go our way, when it isn't as we had planned, we grumble and complain, don't we? We seemingly sometimes like to grumble and complain. It's only as if that's how people understand the situation we're in. We're not as bad as it all is because, well, you have to understand, we have reason to grumble and complain. So what did Paul write to them? He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they passed through the sea. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink. He said, listen, I've got an example for you. You're not alone in this. You're not the only person who has ever had to endure these situations. Think back to the Israelites in slavery, wanting to flee. They flee out of Egypt. The Lord provided for them. They endured all the plagues. They endured the most terrible plague of the death of the firstborn, the last plague which finally forced Pharaoh's hand to get them to leave Egypt. But then they had another issue. As they were going, Pharaoh changes his mind. Now we've got the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's army attacking on the other. God is there with his cloud protecting his people. But what are they to do? In a miracle that has been recorded in videos and films seemingly forever, the fact is they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. The Lord caused the wind to separate the seas, and on dry ground, the entire group of Israelites crossed the Red Sea, a sea that would eventually envelop Pharaoh's army and cause Pharaoh to lose all his army at that time. They saw the miracle. You think, wow, they're going to follow God all the way now, right? Look at that wonderful miracle. But they get over there. Things aren't as they had planned. This was no heaven on earth for them. And so they grumbled and complained. Don't have anything to eat. In the wilderness, don't have anything to drink. What are they going to do? Well, they complain about the leadership. Seems to be kind of a thing to do, doesn't it? If you don't like the way things are going, complain about the leadership. So they complained about Moses and the leadership. He said, at least they wanted to go back. Think about it. They wanted to go back to Egypt. At least there we could sit around and have a good meal, have pots of meat and things available. They cried out to the Lord to rescue them from slavery. Now it looked pretty good to them. And so the Lord was going to provide for them. Through Moses, he told the people, just wait. Tonight there'll be meat. In the morning there'll be bread. And he also, through a miracle, provided water from the rock. We think about all these miracles they had to see. So what happens? Flocks of quail come in. They have meat for the evening. In the morning, there's dew in the wilderness, in the desert. There's dew on the ground. And when that dissipates and goes away, there's bread on the ground. I often think maybe it tastes like graham crackers or something, honey grahams. They said it had a hint of honey to it. They called it manna. This was a bread that was provided every day for 40 years in the wilderness. What did they have to do? Just go out and pick it up. Pick up enough for everyone so that everyone was satisfied. Don't keep it overnight. Don't think I'll pack up a lot today. And they had to learn that lesson too. But think about it. They had the miracle of manna. They had the miracle of the quail. They had the miracle of the water from the rock. They had the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground. Don't you think they would stay with God? Don't you think there wouldn't be any problem following a Lord who so miraculously has provided for them? But we're told God was not pleased with most of them, and the bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They disobeyed God. Matter of fact, we all know the account of the golden calf, don't we? They bowed down and worshiped an idol that they had made. What were they thinking? Why would they give up on the God who so miraculously provides for them, who so miraculously takes care of everything? And why would they do that? And yes, why would we do it? Look around for a moment. how blessed we are. We have water. We have food. For the most of our nation, we have a place to live in, a place to stay. Think of the blessings God has provided for us. Think of the miracles, the very miracle of life, the very fact that you got up today, able to breathe, able to think, able to walk and talk, the things that you take for granted on a daily basis. God provides all of that. And yet, we try to solve our problems ourselves, don't we? We go back to the old solutions. When trouble comes our way, we look everywhere else but God, and in some cases, we even go away from God. No different than the Israelites in the wilderness. We seek other answers. We seek other gods. We seek other solutions. But there is only one, and that's the rock of Jesus Christ. The rock that doesn't move, the rock that doesn't change, the rock that lasts forever. When temptations come our way, when difficulties face us, go to the rock. Go to the one who is in our gospel reading would tell us he is the bread of life. Why would you go anywhere else when you have the very best there, patiently waiting, lovingly looking out after us, caring for our every need, saying, come to me with your cares, your concerns, and your worries, and let me handle them. Let me carry them. Cast all your burdens and cares on me, for I care for you. Why would we seek a solution elsewhere? Why would we seek experts? Why would we seek someone to come up with a solution when God is there to guide and lead us, to direct us, and to love us? You see, the Corinthians were in the same situation we are. They lived in a very, how shall we say, sinful society. They were a international town. So all the pagan gods and all the pagan worship came into them, all the different ways of thinking. And the Christians in Corinth wondered, what are we to do? When faced with these temptations, Lord, what shall I do? Yes, I know you are the rock. You will prevail. You showed that you would prevail even through the wilderness and all those journeys. You brought them into the promised land. But Lord, I'm tempted. And I'm tempted, and it hurts, and it's hard. What am I supposed to do? That was a question for the Corinthians. Isn't it also a question for us? What are we to do in times of temptation? Sometimes we might say, well, I couldn't help myself. Really? Couldn't help or really didn't want to help yourself? That's really the basic question, isn't it? There was a hunter who shot a deer that was not in season. It was a big trophy deer. It had big antlers. And his excuse? I couldn't help myself. Oh, he could have. But the temptation was too great. It was like, there was no way I could get away from this temptation. But folks, there is. And Paul writes to it. And he says, listen, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. See what he says there? First of all, we're not alone as far as temptation goes. We can't say no one understands. Oh, there's a lot of people that would understand. A lot of people understand because there's no temptation that's ever come along that someone else hasn't been tempted with before. We're not alone in that regard. And as we have these temptations come our way, what does he tell us? That he'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He says there's no way to say, well, I just can't help myself. I got to do this. No, he always will provide a way of escape. And you know what that way of escape usually is? It's turning to him. It's turning to him for strength, for direction, for sympathy and love. Relationships break up. People say, I just can't. Or you just won't. You won't do as God would direct. You won't do as God has given us this ability to follow him. What are we going to do when troubles come our way? Do we give in? It'd be nice if it were just as simple as walking off the mat, wouldn't it? Walking off the mat and say, well, I'm not going to participate. It isn't always that easy. We have people surrounding us, bringing us into their circles, bringing us in with their temptations. We have others that are telling us that this is what life is all about. If you really want a good life, if you really want a full life, here's what you got to do. In all these temptations, God says, I'll give you a way of escape. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There is an escape, and it's a matter of saying, what would Jesus want me to do? Remember, there was a promotion for many years about what would Jesus do? Well, what would he have us do? I would say he'd have us follow him. He'd have us feast on the bread of life that he offers us. The bread that says our sins are all forgiven, courtesy of the bread of life. He would be the one that we would turn to and say, Lord, I have failed. I miserably failed. I can't think straight. What should I do? And he says, follow me. Listen to me. Hear my word. Eat of the feast that is the bread of life. And we might question, like those that would question, well, when Jesus was offering this, he says, what do you mean? How can this be? And Jesus says, just like Moses had given you the bread, he did not give you the bread. I'm sorry on that one. But it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven, so we too turn to that true bread of heaven. It is not rocket science, folks. It is not something that we can say, well, what is everybody else doing? What do the polls say? What do the graphs and charts show us? No. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, none other. When we turn to others, we will fail. We turn to them again, we will fail again. And that, we know, is the mark of insanity, to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. The one that gives the positive results, the one that gives the blessings of these results, is the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. Follow him. Taste of his goodness. Don't be like those who, like the Israelites, would just want to rather grumble. Don't quit. Don't give up. But follow Jesus. Because you see, he is our solid rock of faith. Jesus not only is our solid rock of faith, but when the trials come, he will prevail. And when he prevails, every temptation will be defeated. My dear Christian friends, there's so many things to think about. There's so many things to do in this life that cause us to wonder sometimes, what is life all about? What is God all about? It's as simple as eating. We usually don't give it a second thought, do we? We know when we're hungry. We go to the cupboard. We go to the refrigerator. We go to the store. We get something to eat. It's fairly simple, isn't it? God is that simple. His grace and mercy, that simple. To take to him our every care and concern, our every worry and grumble, our every complaint. Take it to the one who is our solid rock. Take it to the one who is the bread of life. Through every trial, he will prevail. In every temptation, he'll help us overcome. For we are his. He is ours. Let's follow him. That's not insanity. That's eternity. Amen. And now may the peace that comes to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus, the bread of life, ever keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with him in life everlasting. Amen.